Hey, folks, welcome to this week's podcast. I took off 2 weeks from my radio show and took a family vacation to Rome, Italy, where, interestingly enough, I found zero traces of rock and roll. Now, usually you go anywhere and you see a poster for a gig that's coming up, or you pass a used record store, or you hear it in the shops, nothing. It was, in some ways, refreshing. And nothing to do with Don Bryant, who's our guest today. 75 years old, has a new record out. A guy whose songs have been covered hundreds of times. And if you listen to the show in its entirety at WFMU.org/Michael, you can hear all the songs I played that had something to do with him, some of the songs he wrote or he sang. But his career started in 1958, which is 59 years ago. It's kind of mind-boggling. So, interesting guy. I don't think we sort of... Sometimes you don't hit your stride. I mean, a sweet guy, nice guy, but I don't think it was a... I don't know. Okay, it's very... I guess maybe I'm being too critical, but this was recorded in advance. It wasn't live on Saturday, and there was a lot of questions that I just didn't go over. Maybe they were bad questions, so I edited down to what I thought worked best, but this is why interviewing people on the phone is not my favorite. I wish everyone was here in front of me to talk to. Anyway, Don Bryant, he's coming to New York May 16th to Brooklyn. If you live around here, go see him. He'll be backed up by the Bo Keys. I've got some interesting stuff coming up. Keep your eyes on the website for information. Here's my chat with Don Bryant. There is Can't Hide the Hurt from the new album called Don't Give Up on Love from Don Bryant. We were talking about him earlier, and luckily he's on the phone now. Don, good morning, and welcome to WFMU. How are you doing?
All right. Good morning. I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Another great day.
You have been making music for a long time because you started when you were super, super young. I assume like a lot of folks down south, you got started in the church. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I sure did. As a matter of fact, my father, my mother, they were all in a gospel group. I'm sure that's where I picked it up. And, brothers, I had six brothers. And we formed a little group, a little gospel group. We were just singing around and through school and what have you. But, I got very young.
So tell me, what did your folks do? How did you grow up? Were you poor? Were you rich? What was the story?
Well, I don't think we were poor. We were happy. You know, it was just seven brothers and three sisters. And, everything was beautiful with us as far as I was concerned. Enjoying each other and enjoying, what we were doing, we were singing and what have you. You know, it was a beautiful neighborhood that we were in. We felt good about it. Yeah. It was nice.
Can all your brothers sing?
Nah, all of them tried, but it didn't work out for everybody.
Okay, I hear you.
Talk about it. They all tried. We tried each one, and then their interests faded away as far as the singing was concerned, and they went in other directions. But, I mean, when I first started, I always knew, I guess I knew then, that this is what I wanted to do, was to sing. And as they continued to fall away, I kept on trying.
Gotcha. So it's the mid-1950s in Memphis, and there's a huge scene, including in nearby Arkansas, where there's lots of clubs, and you hear a lot of people who really came to the fore in the mid-1960s, sort of started in this mid-50s, late-50s scene. So you were in a bunch of bands under a bunch of different names, but this band, when you're about 15 years old, if I'm got the story right, 15 or 16, gets recruited by Willie Mitchell to replace the Five Dukes in his show. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. They were working with Willie at the different clubs. In that time period, most of the bands had a vocal group singing with them, and they played at the different clubs. And the other group was singing with Willie, and for some reason they broke up, and somebody introduced us to Willie for us to audition for him, and we did. And he said he'd give us a try. And from then on, you know, we were the band working with Willie Mitchell in the club.
So you guys were just teenagers. Where had you cut your teeth? What had you guys done to sort of figure out how to be a group?
Well, through school, through high school, we went through high school with, you know, all the way through school. I personally was doing, you know, like little talent shows and what have you. And then when my brothers and what have you were in the same school together, high school, we sang some things together on talent shows and different things, just about everyone that I could get on, you know. And that's kind of how we all got started, you know, doing talent shows and things around the city.
So this is a time that super interesting to me because Memphis is known for, you know, Elvis came out of there, but then in the 60s you had Stax and you had Willie Mitchell. A lot of soul music is coming out of there, but that's a few years later. And I know there was this huge scene, but it seems like in the late 50s that it was mostly a live kind of a thing. So can you tell me what it was like to go see that band at a club and, you know, what the night consisted of, who was in the audience and what happened on stage during a course of the evening?
Well, most of the clubs in the city, it was about three or four major clubs in the city. They all had bands, certain bands playing at the club. And they all had a group working with the band. So, you know, each club had their group and band. And every once in a while, we would get together and have a battle of the bands and the groups in one of the clubs, you know. And it was great. The competition was great. You know, you got the chance to go up against some of your competition and kind of see how you added up with, you know, what the other groups were doing. Most of us knew just about all of us knew each other. So, you know, it was just a friendly competition, but it was good. It was a lot of great experience.
And was this only on the weekends or was this 7 nights a week?
Well, the band would play maybe 3-4 nights a week or something like that. But basically, the shows would be on the weekend, you know.
What was the admission price to get into one of these clubs and see Willie Mitchell in this whole thing?
Well, majority of the time, Willie Mitchell was playing a lot of the clubs. He was playing like private clubs. You know, we played like the West Memphis and around at private, a lot of the private clubs in the city. So I don't even remember what the admission was. And most of the clubs Willie was playing was the white clubs, which were private clubs.
And the white folks went for the R&B, or was he playing sort of a different set for those folks?
No, we were playing the R&B. We were playing the popular songs that were being played on the radio or what have you. You know, those were the type of things we were doing. You know, it went over well.
So this guy from WLOK, Big Daddy Kane Cole, was a DJ. He was also your manager. He was kind of a character around Memphis, right? What was he like?
Yes, he was one of the hottest DJs in the city at WLOK. And we got with him. He started recording us in the studio. At the radio station, he would record us, like on weekdays, he would record us, and then he would play every morning, he would play the songs that we would do as the kids were getting ready to go to school, and they were listening to us on the radio. And that gave us a big boost around the schools and what have you know. Most of the kids knew who we were because they would listen to the radio every morning on their way to school. And that was great. That, you know, everybody knew you, you know, because they were listening to you.
Sure. So the first records that I know from you are from 1958 as the Four Kings on the Stomper Time label. Is that the first recorded stuff from you almost 60 years ago?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was. It was the first recordings we did when Willie was with the label.
That's a long time ago.
It was. Oh, yes. But it seems like yesterday.
Does it really? That's...
I loved it. I always think about it, you know, because that was the beginning, you know, and some of the things that we went through, the studios and talent shows and school hat shows and what have you, you know, it was great. It was me. It was what I really enjoyed doing. And I knew then that, hey, music was going to be what I'm going to be a part of. One way or another, I was going to be a part of music. So even when the groups, you have groups and sometimes some of the singers would go in different directions or whatever. So you'd have to find some more people to sing with the group. But I always knew that I was going to be doing the singing. So I would get other voices to come in to sing and, just kept going.
So you made some records on the MOC label in, I think, 1963. And at that point, the sound starts slowly changing. And that's what one of the things that's kind of interesting to me is that sort of early, those records on Stomper Time sound so different. And you can sort of hear the transform into the high sound of the 60s. It's quite interesting. So starting on High in 1965, you started a bunch of singles. And it's interesting because you're a songwriter, but a lot of those early singles are cover songs, right?
Right. I enjoyed doing, writing songs also. And there were a lot of ideas that I had that, I wanted to put out. I would put them down, do the chords and different things to them and present them to Willie and, see if he would accept them for, to record. And, that's how my writing thing came to be. I enjoyed that also because it was a part of it, you know.
Yeah, sure. Well, later on you started to write songs that got covered by Junior Parker and Ovie Wright and Buddy Ace and Solomon Burke and Otis Clay and Fontella Bass and, of course, Ann Peebles, who you started working with in, I think, 1971. And in 1973, she recorded I Can't Stand the Rain, a song you co-wrote with her. And that is such a gigantic song. Tell me about writing that song. Do you write on guitar? Do you write on piano? Do you just write by singing? How does the process work? And do you remember writing that specific song?
Yes, I do. I remember it would be just piano chording or the song came about. We were going to a show that night. We had some friends gathered over, and we were going to a show, and they gathered at our house to leave from there, and it started raining real bad, and somebody, I don't even remember who it was, but they said, I can't stand this rain, you know. And most of the times when you hear phrases sometimes, you know, you a song or an idea would come to mind. We can write about that. So when I heard the song, I said, that's a good title for a song. We sit down and started off that way, me and Ann and Bernard Miller, you know. So when you get a song and put a phrase to it, a melody to it, to start it off, and sit down at the piano, you know, and things start coming. Since we got three heads together that write and enjoy writing, and that's how it got started. Mm. Well, I think we finished it up the next day, and took it to Willie, and he accepted it right away. He accepted it.
Yeah. So, and how long till you recorded it? How much later?
I don't think it was very long. It might have been a week or less than a week before, you know, because at the time Ann was, you know, needing some material and what have you, you know, and we were always trying to come up with some songs for her.
So tell me about the situation at High Records. I mean, they really had a very specific sound. You could listen to 5 seconds of a any artist on high, and it had a very familiar sonic sound going on. What was it like in that recording studio? I mean, were people hanging around? Were the records made in the nighttime, in the daytime? Were people sober? Were they drinking? Was it, what was going on?
People were hanging around because there was a lot going on, and the writers were always hanging around. Musicians were hanging around. You know, if nothing was going on in the studio, somebody was in there trying to create, some melodies or what have you. You know, it was just people were there at all times of the day, at all times of the night. So it was always something going on. Writers, musicians, and then a lot of them just hung around to find out what was going on. And then if somebody come up with the idea, you know, it didn't take long for, if somebody was interested, you know, they would get together and work with you and try to get the idea figured out, how you want to do it, and then present it to Willie.
And do you know, I mean, the secret of that sound, was it sort of just the group effort? Was it, the songwriter would bring in these demos, and between Willie and the band and the artist, it would sort of get worked up, and there it was? Was it just as simple as that?
Yes, it certainly was. It certainly was. That's the way it was. I mean, you would have some structure to it, some chord changes or what have you to it. And that's basically how we would present it, just with some piano changes or whatever. And Willie would take it in the studio and get with the musicians, and, they would come up with the rest of it.
So 1969, your LP Precious Soul came out, and I'll remind everybody that I'm talking to Don Bryant here. His new album's called Don't Give Up on Love. It's coming out May 12th on the Fat Possum label, and he'll be in Brooklyn, New York, in our neighborhood with the Bo Keys backing him up on May 16th, which is going to be a riot. I've seen the Bo Keys, and they're always terrific, and they play on the new record, so I'm sure that show is going to be a lot of fun. You haven't been back to New York, and I mean, when's the last time you played a gig in New York?
Ooh, recently I was on the tribute to Aretha Franklin at Carnegie Hall.
And before that?
Before that, I had not been doing any shows or anything. I had been doing some writing, some gospel songs and different things, but I wasn't doing any shows or anything. Scott had some of the higher recording musicians working with him, and they were always kind of mention my name to him. So he finally came to me and asked me if I would be interested, and gave me an offer, and I took him up on it, and that's how it got started.
You mean Scott from the Bo Keys, right?
Yes. Scott Beaumont.
And did you have to wonder, can I still do this, or did you know deep inside it was not going to be a problem?
Well, I didn't, I had my doubts. I was still singing, I was still doing little demos for myself on material that I was writing. I was still singing. I didn't know if it was a sustainable situation, but I was singing songs, that I wrote, not in any capacity as far as clubs or what have you, personal appearances like that. But, yes, I never did stop singing. I've always been singing. And I was surprised to myself to realize that, that it was there. It was still there. And I was, when I was offered the situation, I was kind of happy about it. I knew it would give me the opportunity to find out for sure. And when we went in the studio, like I am, I want to give it all I got to make sure, to find out, and it came off great. And I'm really thankful for that.
It's interesting to hear somebody make a record so long after their last one, and that it's still, it holds up. And I think that band definitely it's very hard to sort of make a modern version that sounds reverent to the old version, but contemporary at the same time. And they do a great job. They just get it right on, I think.
All right. Yeah. Well, these are some of the musicians I work with, at High Records, and they were still out, doing shows and playing with different artists in the city and traveling and what have you. So they were still on top of it also.
So you had all these cover songs, and I assume you had a good deal with Willie Mitchell, and it's always nice to walk to the mailbox and see checks coming in. Right. And that's the beauty of a songwriter, right? I mean, you could turn on the radio today, and we're still going to hear I Can't Stand the Rain. We're still going to hear your songs forever.
Right. And that's a great feeling to know, the ideas and the songs and different things that you wrote, they would be around, for a while. And to me, it inspired me to continue to write songs, which is what I've been doing, with the hopes that, hey, who knows, somebody else might grab hold of something else. I'll be looking for some more material, and I'll have a few pages there that I can present. You never know how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen.
So does Don Bryan have a big drawer full of songs sitting around?
Well, I wouldn't say a drawer, because they're all over the house. Wherever the idea strikes me, that's where I sit down and write the lines out, And then later on, I'll come a certain time where I would kind of gather some things together and put the songs together. But I always, I don't know, I guess I just walk around humming things, in my mind, ideas and songs and what have you. And then when I get the opportunity to sit down and relax, I try to recall all those things, and it's worked pretty good for me.
Yeah, it's fascinating that since you were a little boy, the music kind of got in you, and you knew right away, and it's stayed with you and served you well all these years. Don Bryan is our guest. New record is called Don't Give Up on Love. He's playing backed by the Bo Keys at Baby's All Right in Brooklyn on May 16th. And the new record features the Bo Keys and members of the High Rhythm Section. And it sounds great. I mean, the record really holds up, and it sounds like it was fun to make. Am I right?
All right. It was new to me again. And putting all I had, and I had to give it all I had to see if it was still there. I was hoping it was, and I still am, But I enjoyed doing it, I enjoyed getting off, just being around the friends, the musicians, and what have you, It was great. It was great, and I really enjoyed it.
I want to play that song called I Gotta Know. Now, I know the Five Royals version of this song. And you did your own, you re-recorded it, 50 years later or something, right?
Yes. That, at that time, was one of the first songs, that I got recorded on another artist. I don't know, once that happened, to make sure, to see that there were other artists interested in things that I was, maybe a song that I, that gave me a boost. And I don't know, it helped boost the idea that, hey, you might be able to write some more of these things. So, the Fire Royals was a well-known group, and I enjoyed them. That was a time that I enjoyed a lot of the artists out there.
Well, it's very exciting. I mean, to have a group that you know and respect cover one of your songs when you're still a young man. Yeah,
that's right. That's so right. And that just kept me. I guess it just kept me moving on as far as the writing is concerned.
I know you just had a birthday. Are you 75? Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Well, you sound together and happy, and I'm glad you're still making music.
I am. I'm very happy, and I'm enjoying the idea of being back off into creating songs for myself and being in the studio with people I've known for so long. It's a joy. It brings back those old memories and everything. And I'm looking forward to doing as much as I can and going as far as I can go, because I still love it and I enjoy it and I want to do it.
I think that's obvious. Let's hear I've Got to Know. It is from this brand new record called Don't Give Up on Love. And Don Bryan, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll see you on May 16th at Babies All Right in Brooklyn, right here. Thank you so much.
All right. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, too, and I'm looking forward to being there.
Wasting my time.